And this is the Drone Zone, and we're back again with Earl Lawrence, and we have some very fun questions.
We do. We got to get through the bureaucratic stuff first. You know,
yep.
But and there is so much confusion because it's new, because of its newness. I think there's so much confusion about these different programs and what can I do and how do I do some of this stuff. Let's talk a little bit about the idea of who is supposed to be overseeing and controlling this. So we have in the commercial operations, especially, but otherwise too. We have the local folks that may have their restrictions, but the federal airspace. But where is that crossing over? So, one of the things that some of us will say is the FAA tells me where I can fly in the air, but the locals tell me where I can take off and land, essentially. But how is that meshing? How is that integrating? And what's the intention of the FAA on that?
So it is difficult. It is difficult to work out how to integrate that. And that is probably the biggest challenge, going back to what I mentioned in the mm-hmm. in the previous segment about Mayor Lee and saying that, you know, it's not just the airport. The airport is now in everybody's hands. And so that's not new to aviation. It's just that we have this long history of working out those interactions in between us. I have examples where we fully certified helicopter operations to bring people in and out of events and things like that, and then the town shuts them down. Well, why? Because you got to land somewhere. Ultimately, you have to land, and so you have to, in life, work with your local community.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the facts of the matter. But from an FAA standpoint, we are responsible for safety, and we are responsible for managing the airspace.
Mm-hmm.
These are aircraft by law. Congress said so. All even model aircraft. It's mm-hmm. it's in an act of Congress, so we are bound to follow that.
Sure.
And I look at the airspace system, and maybe the listeners can think about this is a big public beach, okay? And public beaches across the United States, you have to have access to the public beach. So there's a requirement to have access, but there's different rules about how close you can build the houses to the beaches and different things. But it belongs to everybody, and we have to figure out a way to assure that everybody has that access.
So this then, let's turn the corner from who makes what rules to who has what enforcement.
Yes.
This is a challenge that, as a commercial operator, that I run into every day. If I approach a client and they're like, well, I got this kid from church that has this thing, then he's doing all of our shots for us. And I'm shaking my head. I'm like, you understand that that's not legal, but what are you going to do about it?
Right.
You know, so where is the enforcement, or where should the enforcement come from on these rules?
Well, ultimately, on the FAA rules, that's FAA. Mm-hmm. But also there's local rules and regulations. Noise, that's local. Privacy, that's local.
Right.
When I say local, state, ultimately.
Right. Not federal.
But non-federal.
Right.
The whole Peeping Tom laws mm-hmm. and all those kind of things are all nuisance laws, noise laws. Those are all local community, and they have full jurisdiction over that. When you talk about using a drone for commercial purposes. So that use, that is a violation of an FAA regulation, and we would handle that. And of course, we use that with our compliance philosophy. And you know, we try with the first step when we mm-hmm. learn. If we know of who's doing that and they're identified, then we can go out and we start with, you know, are you clueless?
Right.
Do we just have to educate you? And it's
are
the beginning of a
are you clueless or
program.
Defiant?
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
All right. So in the early days of aviation, you know, there was people were flying, and wait a minute, you need to have a license for that. You know, so we come up with licensure, and then people are showing other people how to fly. So wait a minute, you need to be a licensed instructor. And then there's different types of flights. We had different types of licenses. Are we heading down that same path with the whole UAS program, that we may see different certifications or instructor certifications or those kind of endorsements?
Absolutely, something? We're actually already there. So, for example, what's your endorsement today for being a fish spotter in a manned aircraft? There isn't one, but they have specific training.
Right.
What's your endorsement for inspecting pipelines for the oil company?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a set of training. And my point is, when we look at our rules, we don't think of it when we're introducing something brand new like this. It's mm-hmm. not about 107. It's not about 61. We say, what were the things, the requirements for that? What were the knowledge that you had to know? Do you have to know airspace? What are the things you need to know to safely operate that system? And some things will be in the rule, and some things will be in industry training, and it'll all evolve. And so if the industry is taking care of it, and they are providing the training and making sure, like operating, inspecting cell towers with drones, well, there's something called RF, radio frequency, on there. If you just take a regular off-the-shelf drone and you try to do that, it will crash.
Oh, yeah.
You will lose control over it, you know. And so there are these things. So we're really looking at it is it's not so much about what reg it falls into or what additional certificate we're having. It's lay out what is needed to operate safely and make sure you have that particular training. FAA will fill in those holes where needed, but the focus is on making sure we have those safe operations.
Yeah, trying to find the line again between an industry certification versus a federal license certification of some sort, and where that's going to land, I think it's still kind of up for some debate.
Well, it is, and that's why I want to highlight. That's not a bad thing.
No, it's not.
What we're doing here is the FAA will ensure that the safety is achieved. If the community is filling those holes and ensuring that safety up front, we don't have to do as much in the regulatory side. So it's going to be a balance, and it always has been.
Well, speaking of safety in regards to that, are you guys planning on implementing like a practical part of the 107 just to prove, just like when you get your regular GA pilot's license?
So I like to remind everybody 107 is the visual line of sight rule. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. It's not over people. And it's visual line of sight, and it's really, that's a basic thing. So no, when I'm answering that, to me, I look at what does a pilot need to do. We don't necessarily need to do a practical for that. You go out in the park, you crash, that's part of learning. You know what I mean? You may want to get an instructor, you may want to get some help, but you want to start operating over people. Hey, okay, now we have additional training requirements. And some people look at that as you can do that under 107 under a waiver. Well, that's what you need in the waiver. You need to come in with your training requirements, your practical requirements to show that I know how I'm going to operate. You want to do beyond visual line of sight. Well, that's not in 107.
Right.
You know, those are other things. You got to come in with your training requirements. So that gets back to what I was saying. What are the things that that pilot needs to know in order to safely do that operation? And we will require those things to be done.
So the... From my perspective, at least, the commercial drone operators are kind of clamoring for more, frankly, from the FAA. More clarity, more structure to something to give them that provenance of I know what I'm doing here.
Yes.
The opposite side of that is you have the hobbyists that are saying, don't touch me.
Correct.
And there is a lot of contention between there, and you have people like myself and Michael over here that play both sides of that. I do a lot of hobbyist work, and I fly commercially, you know, and I have to remember, okay, wait a minute, if I'm flying this as a hobbyist, I might have to call the tower, but if I'm flying this commercially, I need the waiver, you know, and that kind of confusion. And one of the clear points of flashpoints on this came with House Aviation Subcommittee meeting in April, where somebody from the FAA testified that there were the things there. Actually, it wasn't you. I'm going to quote something. It wasn't you.
Angela.
Thank you. That was her name.
Angela Stubblefield.
And it set off a whole flurry of things. And it started off as very, very sensible to me in that they said that the three things that they needed to make things safe was what we just talked about. Focus on compliance with airspace rules. That makes complete sense. The remote identification, which is still some question out there, but we understand what we're talking about. Drone registration, that's pretty simple. Everything's an aircraft. Let's register everything. But the last thing that she said after that was the current exemption was, quote, the current exemption for model aircraft, Section 336, is the fundamental barrier to implementing these policies. And everybody's head exploded. So that right there... is part of the confusion on this. Now, there are those that have said that meant that the FAA wants to cut off all of hobbyists. I don't think that was the intention there, right?
Not at all. absolutely not. And I like to remind people, we regulate kites. We regulate balloons. They're in part 101 where modelers still are, to where we have them. We certainly will find a way to do to manage all of it. I think the real point is right now Congress's direction, and we obviously follow that, is to handle a group separately, to not within our rules. And that's adds a perception mm-hmm. among those folks that aren't just AMA members, for example. It doesn't say AMA members flying in a model park don't have to, you know, have right. some privileges. It says, you know, other things that are interpreted by most people of as it's open season, mm-hmm. so to speak. and we have to keep things simple. And really what I like to look at it is, we don't say one particular group doesn't have to look at the pay attention to the red, green, and yellow lights on right. the stop signals, okay? Whether you're a bicyclist, whether you're walking, or whether you're driving, or whether you're a commercial trucker or whatever, we have to have one set of rules for the stoplights, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and these are the kind of things that we're talking about is the airspace has changed. Things are changing. That is our statement from the FAA, and that's where it was really Angela's point there, is we can't have separate rules now. Mm-hmm. We can have separate requirements. I don't right. want to, you know, for the area and thing like that, it's not one size fits all, but we have to at least have authority over everybody if we are going to remove that confusion. Otherwise, it's going to stay confusing.
Well, exactly. I think clarity is really what of, at the end of the day is probably what everybody's looking for. And that's exactly what I was kind of hoping to hear was we're going to have a different definition that includes the basic requirements. And, you know, you are this group, but you're going to have those basics in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can respect that. You got one question about fine. So with that being said, what can you add to our conversation here to try and clear up any of those kind of things that I haven't touched on
sure.
so far?
Well, just in general, because it's always time short on radio. Yes. It always seems to be a long time.
Yep.
And this is the drone zone, and I want to highlight the FAA has a drone zone.
Yeah.
And that's actually where our center...
Yeah, I was hoping you were
going to
bust me on that.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Oh, no, not at all. It's fabulous. We were just saying, you know, so you go to, you know, www.faa.gov/UAS, and mm-hmm. you'll end up in that drone zone and see those connections. Tremendous amount of materials, education there. I know it's not always the best to navigate, but we're always improving it. We're always looking at better. In fact, you go on there, you got a hobbyist click or you got a commercial click, mm-hmm. And you can get all kinds of great information. We have one of the only 1-800 lines that's open during the week. We have answer men, you know, mm-hmm. and ladies that you can call up and get answers to your question, and we can help you find your way through the bureaucracy.
Excellent. Well, Earl, I would thank you for coming in and talking with us for this last half hour, and this has been the Drone Zone at EAA Radio.